Well, hello, listeners. Welcome to our science article for the month of March. And we've been talking about the Earth and about the moon and the sun. Yesterday, we looked at how the moon and big tides could trigger big earthquakes. And we learned how the high tidal stress that can happen, may be putting a lot of pressure on our fault lines, and how that in turn may be causing small earthquakes to become large earthquakes. But today we go in a completely different direction. Again, we are learning from the Earth, right, and what the Earth can do. But we are talking about nuclear fusion. Now, we will be going into a lot more detail about that today, but joining me again in the studio are my great panelists. To my right, I have...
Hello, everyone. This is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. Thanks for coming back.
Great to be back. This is a very complicated topic, Amanda.
It is a complicated topic. I think what drew me to it was the fact that this could be another source of clean energy.
Yes, and that is very appealing.
It's actually a topic that we've talked about a lot in past articles. We've talked about renewable energy. We've talked about what fossil fuels are doing to the Earth. But here we have something else that might be another option we can think about for the future. And joining me again on my left is...
Albert. I'm pleased as punch that we've upgraded to great panelists.
Great panelists. What did I say yesterday?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. I didn't say anything at all. Oh, dear. Okay, well, every day you're great.
Oh, thank you.
Not just today. This is not the exception. Well, we really are delving into science. We've had a lot of vocabulary talking about different scientific things that are going on. Yesterday, we talked about tides, the moon, tidal stress. What was something you learned from yesterday, Carolyn?
Oh, well, I didn't realize that tidal stress was something that occurred. Mm-hmm. So I knew that the moon affected the tides, but I didn't realize that the new moon and the full moon in particular created something called high tidal stress. Mm-hmm. When the ocean is at its highest and lowest points. Because I didn't grow up in a coastal area, so tides have always been a little bit of a mystery to me. Mm. I didn't experience them growing up.
Right.
I lived in a very wooded area, not on the beach. So this was something new for me to learn.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. great. And what about you, Albert? What did you learn from yesterday?
Well, that, you know, a lot of things, just a reminder of how things are connected. Even the moon, that's something that's really far away. It affects us here on Earth, and it's really comforting to know that there are people out there that are doing research on this to, you know, make lives better, to potentially save lives.
Exactly. It would be great if we could predict when earthquakes happened. Unfortunately, we can't get the exact time or location yet, but at least this kind of research will help us to understand the Earth better and perhaps to be more ready when natural disasters do occur. Well, today we are looking at clean energy, or perhaps another source of clean energy. So join us as we look at our first reading for today. We're going to look at page 35 on the second column, and we're looking at line 4.
Earth Talk. Nuclear fusion could become key source of clean energy. Nuclear fusion may be the most promising energy source that most of us have never heard of. Only recently has fusion started to capture the attention of the media and policymakers, and now researchers are hoping the process can become a key source of safe, clean, reliable energy in the near future. Nuclear fusion is the fusing of two atoms into one. Fusion is very different from fission, in which atoms are split in half. Although both emit energy, fusion emits much more. Makes sense in the long term. When compared to other energy sources, fusion energy seems like it might be our best bet in the long term. Compared to fossil fuels and renewable energy sources, fusion is wildly more efficient and no more dangerous. Fusion is 3 to 4 times more efficient even than nuclear fission, without the downsides, such as the risk of nuclear meltdown or dirty bombs.
Well, great to hear your voice again, Carolyn, during that reading. And how do we enter this first paragraph for today?
Well, we talk about how nuclear fusion may be the most promising energy source, and it's one that you've probably never heard of.
So why would we have never heard of it?
Well, nuclear fusion has never really been a possibility for energy until now.
Okay. Good. Yeah, what do we often think of nuclear fusion to do with?
Well, when we hear nuclear and energy, we actually think of nuclear fission. And that is what nuclear power plants do now. It's fission, which is separating atoms. But fusion is bringing them together, and that's very different.
Good. And we're going to go into more detail about that later on in the article. But it is good to know that maybe we've never heard about this, but this is coming to light right now. It says only recently has fusion started to capture the attention of the media and policymakers. First of all, what does it mean to capture somebody's attention, Albert?
Well, it's to draw your attention, something that's being highlighted.
Okay, good. And what is a policymaker, Carolyn?
Well, that would be people in the government. So people who have influence over laws and regulations and deciding what types of energy sources we use.
Right, very good. So it has come to their attention that this is a possibility for energy. And now it says researchers are hoping the process can become a key source. If something is a key source, what does that mean, Albert?
Well, a key point or something that's key is something that's important and crucial. And source, they're saying this is a place of providing something.
Okay, and what can it provide, Carolyn?
Well, they hope it will provide safe, clean, reliable energy. And that's kind of the trifecta of energy right there, to have it clean and safe and reliable. Because right now, our energy sources aren't really all three of those things.
Now, right now, what kind of energy are we using, Albert?
Well, namely fossil fuel. You know, we're burning it. It's that black thing that it's emitted from exhaust pipes. It comes from coal. It comes from crude oil. It comes from all these just dead plants and animals, really.
Okay, good. So the problem with that is that because of what it lets off, whether it's carbon, it's just this black smoke, that is polluting our environment. Right. So that is the problem, why it's not safe and it's not clean. So we want to look for something that can be safer and cleaner. Why would fossil fuels not be reliable?
Well, there's a limited amount of it. It's finite, right? So eventually we won't be able to mine any more coal. We won't be able to retrieve any more crude oil. It's not going to be there forever.
Right.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it's like there is, it's going to be there, but it's just going to be harder and harder and difficult and more costly to reach it, to the point where it's like it's not even to get the machine to get down there. You're using more energy to get that.
Right. And so that's a problem. So we continue to look at other alternatives for the future. We see that, well, first of all, we're given a description of what nuclear fusion is. And what is it, Albert?
Carolyn mentioned this earlier. It's very different from fission. I mean, although it's just like, it seems like just one small detail where instead of putting things to, pulling it apart, you're putting things together. But that makes a whole lot of difference in terms of the outcome. You get more energy, you get cleaner energy, and it's also safer.
Okay, so nuclear fusion. Let's break down that word.
Okay.
Nuclear, what is nuclear?
So when we talk about nuclear, that means that we're dealing with atoms, right? So we break down the parts of an atom. There is a nucleus, right? So that's where the nuclear comes in, is that atom. But then we have the word fusion.
Good. And fusion means to do with combining, joining. And so here what's happening is the process of two nuclei are being joined together to produce energy. That's what nuclear fusion is, as a description. So here, it says that fusion is very different from fission, which we talked about. When you think, or you hear the word fusion, think joining together.
Yeah, so fuse. Fusion, you fuse things together.
And this other word is so similar in sounding,
mm-hmm.
but it's an I instead of a U. Fission.
Hmm.
Fission, and one more S as well. But fission means to split, right? So fission is the splitting of the nucleus of an atom, not joining together with something else. So when it's split, that is what produces the energy. Whereas in nuclear fusion, when it's joined together, that is what's making the energy happen.
Right, it's actually what the sun is constantly doing. That's how it's able to shine. That's where the energy comes from. It's having fusion reactions on the sun.
Okay, so although both emit energy, both release or send out energy, fusion emits more energy than fission energy. Well, we see it makes sense in the long run. And why is that, Carolyn?
Well, it's because when you compare it to other energy sources, which we just mentioned, it seems like fusion energy is our best bet. And I like this phrase, to be our best bet. It just means that it's the best choice or the best decision that you could make. And that's because compared to those other sources like fossil fuels or even renewable energy, fusion is much more efficient and it's not any more dangerous.
That's the interesting part. It's no more dangerous. Because often when we see the word nuclear, we think of danger, right? In fact, it says fusion is 3 to 4 times more efficient than nuclear fission. And this is why I often have a negative connotation towards nuclear, is because I often think of a nuclear meltdown. Right, happening at a reactor, or like it says here, a dirty bomb. You know, a dirty bomb is a bomb that's made up of radioactive material, right? And that can cause a lot of damage. So when I think of nuclear, I think of all the bad things that could possibly happen.
Right.
Right? But we're not talking about that. We're talking about it being safe, clean, and efficient.
Right, and that means that you don't have to worry about meltdowns, which are a big concern right now when we talk about nuclear energy. And a meltdown is an extremely dangerous situation in a nuclear power plant or a power station in which the nuclear fuel becomes very hot and melts through its container and potentially escapes into the environment, which can be detrimental to the surrounding area. We experienced that with the Fukushima reactor in Japan.
Right.
The United States has also had issues with this at Three Mile Island. And then I think of Chernobyl as being a very detrimental and destructive nuclear meltdown. And that has a lot of terrible side effects.
Right. For example, I know with Chernobyl, a lot of people experience cancer after that because of radioactive material in the air.
Right.
So, and of course, that's just one thing that can be a consequence of a nuclear meltdown.
Right. Or you can't go to that area. It's off limits. People can't live there.
Right.
Yeah.
It affects everything in the environment. Well, with regard to nuclear fusion, what is needed for it to happen? Let's find out in our next reading for today.
What's needed? While nuclear fission requires uranium to function, fusion reactors only require deuterium, which occurs naturally in seawater, and tritium, which can be produced through a reaction of deuterium and lithium. These low raw material costs cause fusion to be considered a potential source of limitless energy. Due to the low radioactivity of fusion, even in the case of an explosion, radioactivity would be contained to the reactor site. Fusion reactors' small input and extremely high output have made them a popular idea.
Well, we've been talking about how nuclear fusion may be a key source of clean energy. Many people or researchers believe that it could be safe, clean and reliable. And this is compared to what we've been using right now, which is fossil fuels being gas, coal, oil. We know that it's going to be more difficult to be able to have access to these. And also they don't cause harm to the environment. Well, they do cause a lot of harm to the environment, perhaps as opposed to something like nuclear fusion or renewable energy. Renewable energy is things like wind and solar power. So what is needed to create nuclear fusion? Well, first of all, we need to look at what is needed to create nuclear fission.
And that requires uranium. And uranium is not a very friendly substance.
Well, why is it not a friendly substance, Carolyn?
Well, because it's a heavy metal and it's radioactive and toxic. And we do use it for research and the production of nuclear power or nuclear weapons, which not very friendly sounding things. But uranium breaks down. It's not a stable element, and that is why it is radioactive, which causes cancer in people.
Right, and it's also hard to access as well. Right now, there's a lot of mining for uranium. So again, there's a lot of energy needed to actually acquire uranium. It's not like we can breathe it in the air. Right. So access to uranium is also a process. You have to mine it and get that from different countries. But why is fusion so attractive?
Because it requires ingredients or materials that are occur naturally in seawater, and it's just something that's renewable and easy to get at.
Okay, so we see that deuterium is able and you're able to get it through seawater rather than mining for it. We also see that tritium can be produced through a reaction of deuterium and lithium together. So we see that they have low raw material costs. You don't have to go mining for it. So this causes fusion to be considered a potential source of limitless energy. Now, there's something great about it as well. It's what, Carolyn?
Well, it has low radioactivity. Yay!
As opposed to uranium, right?
Right. Yeah, the uranium is high radioactivity in fission, but fusion has low radioactivity. So even if there were to be an explosion, right? We talked about meltdowns. If there were to be an explosion at the reactor, the radioactivity would be contained to the reactor site.
What do we mean when something's contained, Albert?
I think of how it's confined or locked within.
Right, it won't get out.
Right, in a certain area.
So that's the problem with a nuclear meltdown, right? It gets out into the environment, whereas this will be contained to the reactor site. What do we learn also about the benefit of fusion, nuclear fusion?
Well, they have a small input and extremely high output. So it's like super efficient, like we talked about earlier, and it's made it a popular idea to go and attain.
Right. Okay, so we're seeing some of the benefits of why people are attracted to using nuclear fusion as a new clean energy. We're able to get it through seawater. When combined, we can find it through a combination of other elements together. And we can see that it's a lot safer than having a nuclear meltdown happen. So this is good. This is all good news, right?
Yeah.
It sounds good. But there may be some drawbacks. So let's look at our next reading for today to find out what are the drawbacks of nuclear fusion.
What are the drawbacks of nuclear fusion? Most critics of fusion energy point to the timeline as its greatest weakness. The majority of projections see 2050 as the first year fusion reactors could be commercially available. This is too late for fusion energy to solve our current energy crisis. Another concern with fusion is public opinion. People tend to be wary of anything nuclear, if only because of the incredible devastation of nuclear bombs. While nuclear fusion is far safer than fission, many activists in France, for example, are protesting all forms of nuclear energy.
So we're looking at some of the drawbacks there, maybe with nuclear fusion. Albert, what are some of the drawbacks we may find in the present time frame for nuclear fusion?
Well, in its current form, this technique was discovered in the 1930s, and since then, scientists have been trying to make it possible or feasible in terms of economically and efficiently. To create fusion, it takes in tons of temperature, high temperatures and tons of pressure, and the temperatures we're talking about is 100 million Kelvin, spelled with a K, K-E-L-V-I-N. It's different from Celsius. It was invented by scientists to measure temperature, namely absolute zero. So when you're using this unit of measurement, there's no negatives. The reason for this is because gases and elevation and stuff like that will affect temperature. So if you live somewhere else, your boiling point for water in Celsius might be different from my boiling point, even though the numbers are the same.
Right.
Right. So they use this. And so to give you an idea of how hot 100 million Kelvin is, it's about 6 times hotter than the sun's core. So it takes a lot of heat, it takes a lot of energy and pressure, mm-hmm. and scientists have been using lasers, tons of lasers, to create the heat, and tons of magnets in a circular, a donut shape to create that pressure, and to do it efficiently. And they've been getting there, but so far it's cost them way more to make fusion happen. Whereas, like, you know, Carolyn has been mentioning throughout the show that fission is easy to achieve after you find and mine uranium. It's really unstable. It just wants to react and get out there. And that's why we also have meltdowns, because it gets so hot and out of control that when the cooling system fails, it just goes all over the place, and we call it a meltdown.
So even though we talked about it being safe and clean and reliable, it is costly.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the drawbacks in its present form that scientists are still needing to overcome.
Right. If we can build a reactor in a cost-effective way, the materials and everything else just, you know, overwhelms in terms of benefits.
Okay, good. Well, in the article, we go on to talk about the future as well. There's still some time limit involved with this. What do we learn here, Carolyn?
Right. Yeah, the timeline is really important. So because of some of these obstacles that Albert was mentioning, the majority of projections see 2050. Mm-hmm. That's still a few years away, mm-hmm. as the first year that fusion reactors could be commercially available. And that's too late. We have an energy crisis now, and 2050 is too far away.
Right. So to be able to get those costs down, it's going to take too long to do that. So this is a problem that we're not seeing an inevitable way to deal with it or to be able to overcome that. Okay, so that's one concern. But there is another concern, and that has to do with popular opinion. What's the problem right now with popular opinion?
Oh, yeah. You know, for us, you know, there's other aspects in terms of, like, social stigma. Like, there's public perception about how, ooh, nuclear, I associate with that with, like, dirty bombs or Chernobyl or something that's, you know, I don't want in my backyard. So stop making these reactors or plants and stop development on anything nuclear related.
Okay, good. So here we say that people tend to be weary, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about stigma. People are weary of anything to do with the word nuclear. Like I said before, when I hear the word nuclear, I think of meltdowns and radioactivity and Chernobyl and things like that. So this is a problem, right? And that it says if only because of the incredible devastation of nuclear bombs, which we've seen in history so far. So what do we finish off with saying?
Well, while fusion is much safer than fission, there are still people who are protesting all forms of nuclear energy, regardless of whether it's fission or fusion. And one of those places that has these protests is France.
Okay, so we're seeing that there still are quite a few obstacles to be overcome before nuclear fusion can be considered a viable option, or in commercially, being commercially available, right? So we're still, right now in this time frame, we're still dealing with fossil fuels and renewable energy. But I think this is a great article to introduce our listeners, if they have never heard about nuclear fusion before, just to the idea or the possibility of nuclear fusion and why scientists are pursuing this line of research. Now, we hope that you've also learned a lot from today. There was a lot to take in and a lot of vocabulary, especially specialized terms that we learned today as well. But we hope that you've learned a lot about the Earth over these last 2 days and that it's made you curious to learn more or for you to be able to read studies, scientific studies. We hope that through learning different vocabulary, especially scientific vocabulary, you are able to read what researchers are finding out. And there's a lot online that you can find out through scientific studies, and we hope this vocabulary helped you. Now, we would love to hear about maybe some of the studies that you have found and what you have learned. So make sure you write into us at studioclassroom.com or check out our QR codes at the top of page 34. Are there any other ways that they can get hold of us?
Well, sure. We have all sorts of social media platforms. We've got Facebook, we have Line, we have Instagram, we have all sorts of different things. So just pick your favorite social media and search for Studio Classroom. We're probably on there.
Well, thank you, Carolyn, and thank you for joining us today. We hope that you continue through the month of March learning a lot more English vocabulary. Make sure you join us next time for an advanced article. This is Amanda
and Carolyn
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.